This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I didn't suddenly make this movie and start practicing Hinduism. It's just something that's been part of my life for a very long time.
I'm a Christian, and I pray to Jesus Christ, our Savior.
It's now about one in five Americans who say the president is a Muslim. We also see in the poll a substantial drop in the percentage of Americans who say the president is a Christian.
The devil always has the numbers. But the devil, as we say here in Texas, is all hat and no cattle. He's got the numbers and the appearance of power, but it's all a lie.
Indiana truck driver, Travis Chisandra.
This account comes after Jesus has died on the cross. And for some reason, John decides to record, well, what is it? A graphic detail? It certainly is graphic. The piercing of Jesus' side, and then the issue, the immediate issue of blood and water. Of course, this is a multifaceted account, even though it only spans five verses in John's gospel. There's more going on here with regard to Old Testament prophecy, with regard to what the soldiers are trying to do at the crucifixion, with regard to Jesus' death. We're going to be talking about the piercing of Jesus' side. John 19, beginning at verse 31. To kick off this Monday's Issues Etc., it's August the 30th. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Ben Mays will be our guest for the first half hour. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk about God creating the world, teaching a Sunday school lesson with her, as we usually do on Monday. Mark Tooley will be with us for the first part of the second hour. We're going to talk about financial contributions, some rather sizable financial contributions made by atheist billionaire George Soros to evangelical organizations. Some of these organizations have recognized and admitted that they're getting money from George Soros. Others have been more hesitant to make that admission. Marcus Zill will be our guest for the remainder of the second hour. We'll talk some pastoral advice for college students and their parents. It is that time of the year. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page. You can leave comments on pastoral advice for college students and their parents, and your thoughts and comments on George Soros's evangelicals right there at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Ben Mays is editor of professional and academic books for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, and he's a contributor to the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. Dr. Mays, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Is this more than just a graphic detail from the crucifixion accounts?
And we're talking about John chapter 19, where the soldiers come and pierce Christ's side, the dead Christ on the cross, and water and blood come out. There in chapter 19, verses 34 and 35. I don't think that this is just a simple, normal sort of a thing that would happen if you would pierce a dead body with a spear. And certainly the gospel writer John says that this is really something special, something really significant, because this is the way that John records it. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. So that verse 35, that last part that I just read, really kind of points to something special going on here. Now, I'm not a coroner, I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't have a lot of experience with this sort of thing, but Martin Luther was of the opinion that this sort of thing just does not happen. After a body is dead and you were to pierce it, you would not have blood coming out, and you certainly wouldn't have water coming out as separate from the blood. So Martin Luther actually says that this is a miracle that happens.
And obviously John, as you just said, considers it very significant. He takes that time to kind of pause, as he often does, and parenthetically speak to his reader directly. But he doesn't exactly explain why it is significant. Where do we go for the answer to that question?
Well, we can go to one of John's other writings, and that would be the letter 1 John, chapter 5. And there he gives us a little bit more of a hint. There he says in 1 John 5, starting at verse 6, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." So John here is basically saying that Jesus Christ comes to us by the water and the blood. If we look then through the rest of the scriptures to see what blood and water have to do with our salvation, we come up with some very interesting conclusions from that. And I think that if we take scripture as a whole and look at the significance that John places on the blood and the water and see what other kind of blood and water is of significance in the scriptures, we come up with some really interesting conclusions.
There are several other things going on here, and I do want to come back to the blood and water because that's where Luther spends a good amount of his time focusing on that and what others have said about it as well. But this is both the failure to break Jesus' legs and the piercing of his side, if I'm not mistaken, are recorded elsewhere in other gospel writers with prophetic significance. They believe they're finding these events recorded in the Old Testament. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and not a single of his bones shall be broken. I think the first one, or the latter, being a reference to the Passover lamb, if I'm not mistaken.
That could very well be. I especially was struck by the curse of the one who is hanging, a dead man who has been executed and is hung up there. And already in the book of Deuteronomy, we have the prophecy, or we have the law that says that in Deuteronomy chapter 21, right at the end of the chapter there, that if a man has committed a sin deserving of death and he is put to death and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. And so the gospel writers take this, and especially John right here, sees this as being applicable to Jesus Christ. And then later on, Paul in the letter to the Galatians makes that move very particularly, very clearly, to show that in his manner of death, Jesus was taking upon himself the curse of the whole world. He was taking upon himself God's wrath and becoming a curse for us. Namely, he was becoming one that God had cursed, even though Jesus himself had not done anything worthy of death. So, yeah, this is certainly, we've got prophetic fulfillment going on all through this part. And you brought up some really good ones, and I was struck especially by the one about Jesus being hung as a curse.
There's a point where Luther, in expositing this text, goes to the issue of water and talks about washing, especially with reference to freeing of prisoners. What does he have to say there?
He's got this great statement. And Luther's view on the blood and the water is not that it's simply a biological fact of what happened at that time. That it did happen. There was water and blood that came out, but that's not the end of the story. There's a lot of significance there. And so Luther especially looks at the blood as meaning our redemption, that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross to reconcile us to God the Father. And basically, this is our justification or our atonement, the fact that he died for us. But then the water would be our cleansing and our being made righteous people, being made to actually be holy and to be cleansed of all the impurities and sins which still linger in us even after we've been redeemed. And so he's got this great quote to explain how these two things are different, the difference between redemption and cleansing. He writes, "Whoever wants to free a prisoner must first open up the prison and dungeon and take the prisoner out. After the prisoner has come out of the prison, then it is necessary that he be bathed, washed, and purified. For when he comes out of the prison, he will surely be covered with uncleanness and filth. That is also how Christ redeems us. First, he breaks the dungeon of sin, death, and the devil, and leads us out. But once we have been redeemed, we are still not entirely pure and without sin, but rather we are soiled and stained with remaining sins and evil lusts. That is why we also need Christ to cleanse and purify us from the remaining sins and evil lusts through his word and spirit.
So with about 30 seconds, what's Luther saying there?
He's saying that Christ on the cross and Christ really in his work toward us to save us does two different things. The first thing he does is he redeems us by his death on the cross and makes us pleasing to God the Father, not by anything that's changed within us, but simply by redeeming us and by paying the price for us. Second, he gives us the Holy Spirit who starts to form us into the kind of people that God wants us to be.
Dr. Ben Mays is our guest. He's editor of professional and academic books for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. We're talking about Martin Luther on the piercing of Jesus' side, John chapter 19, beginning at verse 31. You can join us as we come to you live this Monday afternoon, August the 30th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet, @issuesetc, or you can visit our Facebook fan page in advance of Hour 2 of Issues, etc. We have a place for you to leave comments on George Soros's evangelicals, or you can also leave a question or a comment on pastoral advice for college students and their parents. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
You'll find the reformer Martin Luther's thoughts on Jesus' high priestly prayer and the passion and resurrection according to John in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Luther's Works, Volume 69, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Luther's Works, Volume 69, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Lutheran Radio in Exile. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, August the 30th, talking the piercing of Jesus' side with Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Mays, many have seen in the blood and water a at the very least, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. How far back does this insight go? And I guess I'm curious, does Luther share that insight?
Well, we certainly find it already at the time of St. Augustine in the 300s, 400s, in his commentary on the Gospel of John. He takes this as indicating the two sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And he's really got some beautiful words here, words that were certainly known by Luther. Luther read St. Augustine and really valued much of what St. Augustine wrote and thought. And Augustine writes, "A suggestive word was made use of by the evangelist in not saying pierced or wounded his side or anything else, but opened, that thereby in a sense the gate of life might be thrown open from whence have flowed forth the sacraments of the church, without which there is no entrance to the life which is the true life. That blood was shed for the remission of sins. That water it is that makes up the health-giving cup and supplies at once the laver of baptism and water for drinking. This was announced beforehand when Noah was commanded to make a door in the side of the ark, whereby the animals might enter which were not destined to perish in the flood, and by which the church was prefigured. Because of this, the first woman was formed from the side of the man when asleep, and was called life, and the mother of all living. Truly, it pointed to a great good prior to the great evil of the transgression in the guise of the one thus lying asleep. This second Adam bowed his head and fell asleep on the cross, that a spouse might be formed for him from that which flowed from the sleeper's side. O death, whereby the dead are raised anew to life, what can be purer than such blood? What more health-giving than such a wound?" Now, this was certainly known. This quotation was certainly known to Martin Luther, and probably was well known to most of the people that would have been reading or writing commentaries on John at Luther's time. Nowadays, people hear that and they're amazed, especially Lutherans that have never heard this before. And I think it's a really valuable way to see this, that from his side comes water and blood, and we know that the sacraments, the means of grace, especially baptism and the Lord's Supper, is what makes us Christians and keeps us Christians. And so from it, the church is born out of the side of Christ, just like Eve was made out of the side of Adam. That's a really profound insight, and I think it's one that was well known to Luther, and Luther doesn't reject that, but he has something else that he wants to point out about this, maybe in addition.
Well, he wants to equate two words, two common biblical words, grace and gift. Grace with blood and gift with water. What does Luther have to say there?
He's got really quite an interesting view on grace and gift. And this view of grace and gift is something you see not just here in Luther's works, but really in many, many places. The basic idea is that grace is God's unmerited favor, or rather not merited by us, sinners, but merited by Jesus by his innocent life and his innocent suffering and death for us. That's what grace is. And by his death and his shedding of blood on the cross, God has favor toward us. God loves us. Then the gift is essentially the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is given to us, makes new hearts within us, makes us to love what God wants us to love, and roots out some of the evil that's within us. Obviously, we still remain sinful in this life until finally we die. Luther's got some beautiful words to say about this. He writes, "Therefore, St. Paul puts the two together, grace and gift, in Romans 5. If many died through one man's sin, much more have the grace of God and his gift extended to many through Jesus Christ, who alone of all men was in grace. And again, if because of one man's sin, death reigned through that one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and gifts unto righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." So there, St. Paul is mentioning both grace and gifts. And so Luther goes on to explain what this means. "Through grace, we are justified, for God takes us wholly and entirely into his favor for the sake of Christ's blood, so that he will not regard nor judge our sin. Through the gift we are preserved, for God gives us the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith until sin is put to death. St. John calls the grace blood. He calls the gift water. that is the Holy Spirit, who cleanses and purifies our sinful flesh. And he puts these two parts together in order to show and testify what Christ has poured out into the world to redeem us from sins. Now, what's I think also very interesting about this, the move to identify the blood with redemption and the grace, or I'm sorry, the water with purification, is that Luther actually was not making this up. As you can read in Luther's works, volume 69, and some of the footnotes, that interpretation was also found among some of the early church fathers, such as St. Ambrose. So it's not brand new to Luther, but it sure is profound.
So in the end, what is Luther's thought on why John includes this particular detail of the crucifixion?
He writes, Luther writes about that very question. He says, "That is also the reason why the evangelist so carefully describes this part, namely, so that he may clearly impress Christ's merit upon us through this miracle. It is as if he said, 'Your good works do not wash and purify you from sin, nor do they make you righteous before God, but it is Christ who comes with water and blood, not with water alone, for the gift alone does not do it, but with water and blood, who sanctifies and purifies from sins and justifies and saves. For from his fullness, as he says in the gospel, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is forgiveness of sins, truth is the Holy Spirit, who constantly purifies us so that hypocrisy may cease and we become genuine human beings."
What does he mean by that last part, we become genuine human beings?
We become precisely what God created us to be in the beginning. God created humankind good. He created us having the right love of God and of our neighbor, and not to be so turned towards creaturely things, lustful things, self-serving things. But by redeeming us and then by giving us the Holy Spirit, God is forming us in a preliminary way in this life, but it will be perfect once we have died and been and see Him face to face. He's creating us and reforming us to be precisely who He originally created humanity to be.
With about a minute, Dr. Mays, is it safe to say that John pauses here to note what he has witnessed and to make it very clear with his readers that he saw it with his own eyes? Because this is, for John, in essence, the kind of the seal and the climax of Christ's sacrifice. This is when and where it happens.
I think that you see here that by adding this unique insight, or this unique detail, because John is the only one that records this part about the spear opening Jesus' side, you see John explaining to us the great benefit that comes to us from Jesus' death. If Jesus had only died and we hadn't known anything else about it, that would not have really helped us. We might be sad to know that, you know, our Lord and God had died. Obviously, later on, all of the Gospels tell us about the resurrection, and that brings us the joy of knowing that sacrifice that Christ died has been accepted by God. But here, John is showing already a little bit more by including this detail that Christ's side opened and blood and water came out. And we know from the rest of the Scriptures how significant that blood and water is, that Christ redeemed us and the Holy Spirit is purifying us.
Dr. Ben Mays is editor of professional and academic books for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis, a contributor to The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. Thank you very much for being our guest.
It was great to be with you.
The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August is indeed a groundbreaking scholarship, but more than that, as you've heard here in this short interview with Dr. Mays, it is insight into the Reformer's mind on many things, crucial things, from the events immediately before Christ's passion, through his passion, his death, and his resurrection. It's Luther's Works, Volume 69, Sermons on the Gospel of St. John, chapters 17 through 20. Next time, by the way, we're going to be talking about Jesus appearing to his disciples and Jesus appearing to Thomas. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Luther's Works, Volume 69. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be with us. As we usually do on Mondays, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll go all the way back to the very beginning, God's creation of the world. In the second hour of the program, Mark Tooley will be our guest from the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about financial contributions being made by atheist billionaire George Soros to several evangelical organizations. It sounds like he's even got his own kind of evangelical organization going. Odd bedfellows on both the religious and the secular left. Then Pastor Marcus Zill will join us with some pastoral advice for college students and their parents as the new college university year kicks off. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc.
So could fulfill his father's will, and all the crimson saints that wipe away my pain and cover all my shame on a tree.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The popular Hollywood actress Jennifer Aniston raised eyebrows recently while promoting her latest film. It's about a woman who wants a child but has no man in her life, so she uses artificial insemination. During a press conference, one reporter questioned the appropriateness of Aniston's character bypassing the father. Her response was, "Modern women don't have to fiddle with a man to have a child." Miss Aniston may be a good actress, but she's got a lot to learn about basic biology. A man must be part of the process. Further, a man's role should be much more than a mere fiddling. For the sake of a baby, it should be a lifetime commitment of married parents, a mother and a father, to raise a child with a marriage built on the foundation of Christ.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.